I have seen church planters have everything going really well. I've seen very spirit-filled church planters and leaders who really have that piety, that love of Christ. And yet, I've seen church planters who've done almost everything well, and I've seen church planters that have a great walk with God, and yet, when it came to the role of money issues in the church plant, that was the thing that sunk their church plant. So today we're going to talk about the best practices of the role of money in a church plant. Now, money is very important. You know, it is said often we have two resources, time and money, as humans, that is. Well, we can spend a lot of time talking about how to spend our time, but the role of money is very important. It's an extremely important resource created by God to benefit a local church plant. So, money is important. Get the conversations going in the early stages. Plan, credibility, transparency, communication, stewardship, biblical teaching. Connect to your team's dream. What's it all about? You will find that what people are into, where their heart is located, money follows. So it's okay to talk about issues such as planning, credibility, transparency, communication, stewardship, biblical teaching, connecting to your team's dream. Now, what's planning about? Planning is looking at what your goal is and seeing the role of money in your goals. Credibility is a structure put in place that people know they can trust you. Transparency is that whatever money is spent, everyone can see. There's no hiding. Communication is communicating to everybody where the money is being spent. Stewardship is having that self-aware evaluation of how should we spend the money here? Let's not waste it. Biblical teaching is the many, many places in the scripture where teaching about money is given, in our congregations, our church plants need that. And connecting to your team's dream is finding out who God is calling you and what is the call in those who are come to your church, and how can money be brought into that whole equation. So let's now get very practical. Let's talk first about a budget plan. Planning, as you know, is very important. And every budget plan basically goes this way. There's staff costs. Now, as a church planter, a lot of times there is no money. Most times, you're bivocational staff. And maybe there's costs to that bivocational staff. That is, you have another job. Let's say it's you. You have another job. You're doing the church plant for no salary. But maybe there's a car cost, or there's gasoline, or there's an expense. Those are all costs that go in the budget, even if you take no salary. Or maybe you have more resources. Maybe you're a person who is a paid staff. Maybe there's a grant that comes in from a denomination or a mother church. Well, you put together a budget where those costs are first of all put in a cost section of the budget. Then there's program costs. Are you going to rent a facility? Do you need to rent anything? Do you need to buy anything? That's called the capital costs. Then there are expenses, things such as electricity or the rent, the rent of the building I mentioned before. But there's other expenses such as toilet paper. Whatever those expenses are, they need to be placed in a budget. Then once the expenses are placed, we also have to put down the income in the budget plan. So how much money is projected to come from the team members who you're already reaching and yourself from your own tithing? What about outside supporters, churches, individual families that don't even go to your church but believe in the mission of your church? Are there any grants? Are there other ways that income can come in your budget plan? Now, I'll tell you, never forget God in money. God is needed. God wants your church to be healthy. God wants your life to be healthy. Confidence in money matters is good. Abuse of trust is not acceptable. You know, I'll tell you something for me that I learned early on is get independent help in money issues. Even now, Christian Leaders Institute has an independent financial team. A team of CPAs, not even in our town. We have very set procedures. And we know that it is better to have very set procedures with a board and with a budget and all of those things, because we know God wants us to do that. That we're not going to be there, you know, worrying about those money issues that could ultimately even sink Christian Leaders Institute. And you want to have confidence in that, not arrogance, but confidence that the way you think about money in your organization is very positive. The reality is when you think about those in that are not reached yet, there's an attitude about unchurched and money. Unchurched people are not against the fact that your local church needs money to operate. They and everyone are against the abuse of accepted financial expectations, the lack of controls, and weak bookkeeping efforts. So as a church planter, this is one of those important things. You know what I would do too, is I would, in your community, just knock on the door of some local bookkeepers or accountants or people that are really good at handling money and ask them a simple question. Hey, you know, I'm Henry. I'm new to the area. We're planting a church here, and I really want our church to glorify God. And they may not even be Christians, but they will appreciate that. Will you help me? Do you have any ideas on how I can set up a good financial control system in our new church? And people will tell you exactly what to do and welcome their advice. Apply the best practices of money management to the new church plant. Develop a budget, and we talked about that, but do it with an informal group of leaders. Keep denominational leaders. If you're a denominational church or you're connected to a mother church, keep everybody in the loop at the budget level. Appoint a trustworthy volunteer to be a treasurer, or hire that bookkeeping firm or accountant firm. Make it that the church planter is not touching the money. His or her job is to develop the budget and spread it according to the plan. You know, that's something I did in church planting. I did not collect the money. I did not touch the money. I did not do anything that gave even the appearance that the pastor is taking this money and putting it in his pocket. That type of thing just creates all sorts of doubt for your church planting efforts. Number three, yourself participate in tithing. Feel confident to present the biblical teaching to team members and those called to join the launch team. Here's something I've realized. If, as a church planter, you're not tithing, you're not feeling confident to present the biblical teaching to team members. And really, people in your group sort of know your level of involvement. If you're not giving of yourself and your finances, you tell people by this nonverbal that they're not going to. Now you say, you know, that's all confidential and all of that. I realize that. In many cases it is. But sometimes news gets out. You say, would news get out? Would people gossip about stuff like that? Yeah, they might. You say, well, we shouldn't be gossiping. We're the church. All I'm doing is laying out the truth to you. Practice what you preach. Number four, study the meaning of cash flow. There's YouTube videos that talk about the meaning of cash flow. Go ahead and put that in the internet and type in the meaning of cash flow. Because understand that as a church plant, you are not borrowing money. You have to have cash on hand and understand how that cash works. Be very effective at spending money. In other words, you look at things and you want to be stewardly in everything you do with money. And as the leader who's sort of conducting the leadership and the budgetary spending of money, you're always saying, do we need this? Do we really need this? On the other hand, if you need it, buy it. And don't skimp if you have the cash flow and it's in the budget. Stay away from the guilt card. When you're sharing about giving, you know, don't hit people on the head with guilt. Instead, inspire them in the mission and model that giving and giving opportunities, but do not use that guilt card. Create conversations. Just get people talking about stewardship issues and so forth. Now, when you create conversations, be wary of those who are micromanaging of how the church should spend money the way they want to do it. I'm not saying create conversations with dissentive and antagonistic people. I'm just saying is in general it's okay to share how money is being spent, especially when you're with trustworthy people. That shows to them a confidence, a trust in you and in them. When making the first year's budgets, multiply it three times. You know, in church planting, it's hard to even make a budget. But what you really want to do is sort of have this budget, but your first budget is probably not what you're actually going to spend in that first year. That's what many in the church planting world say. Now, if you're a bivocational church planter and your model that you pick does not spend the resources as quickly, you're not going to multiply it the first 3 years. This is some of the suggestions that I've read in literature. But I would say make that first year's budget. You may have to multiply it. You may have to increase it. Be aware of that and set that expectation with your informal leaders right away. Say, here's the best guess, and we could actually spend more. We will be prepared. If the church grows and the cash flow comes in, the budget may actually increase. Now, James Griffith and William Isom in the most 10 common mistakes made by church planters have some observations about money, and I'm going to share some of them with you. Overseeing expectations. How does that actually work? Who's part of that? How does that fit in a church plant? Well, what are they? They also have very clear set oversight procedures of how money is to be handled. Someone who understands how to spend money needs to oversee the process. Some processes should be set in place to monitor the flow of money to guard against impulsive spending. Have the planter's bank send copy of the monthly bank statements to the treasurer or the treasurer of the sponsoring agency. Require any purchases above a certain amount to get a second look. For instance, if it's something like in USA, under a couple hundred dollars, then there's not going to be a procedure. But if it's over that, there may be a procedure. In another country, that number may be different. Something over $10 or $20 may occur that needs more scrutiny. The reason you want to do that at the end of the day is it protects you as the church planter. Every church that I have planted, I had these sorts of controls in place. So James Griffith and William Isom strongly believe that as well. If a person isn't financially invested in your church, now what we're talking about here is the planter and executive leaders in the know. So if you have people who are sort of your leader advisors, understand this. If a person isn't financially invested in your church plant, one of four things happens. One, they try to monopolize your time. Two, they become constant complainers. Three, they create the impression that they're just one good sermon away from pledging. Or four, they disappear. In any case, they're not the people you need in your launch team or your leadership circle. They're not the people with whom you spend most of your discipling time. Now, what Griffith and Isom is saying here is as you recruit leaders, their giving is very important in the process of seeing how they're going to participate with you. If they come and they basically don't put themselves and their finances online, you know something. It's like a little test to find out whether or not they really want to be part of this church planting team. Now, I know in some places in the world where resources are small, that gift may be gift in kind. It may be volunteer. It might be other ways. But remember the principle here. In places where there are more finances, that expression of giving, according to Griffith and Isom, is very important. Now, I will tell you, as a church planter, I saw that to be so true. Again, and I never hung that over someone's head, but I always in my mind realized if someone's not giving, they're not involved. They're not really believing. Remember this principle: no favoritism, but leadership in money issues. We're not talking about giving special attention to big givers. We're talking about planter investing in people who are investing in the gospel. There is a difference. Everyone needs someone to minister to them, but not everyone should be ministered to by the planter. People who don't give invariably try to take up the lion's share of the planter's time. Isn't that interesting? James and William Griffith and Eason here are experienced church planters, and it just seems like this is such a true statement that a lot of times people are not giving, but they still try to take up the pastor's time. And there's something to be observed there, and you will see that too as a church planter. In fact, they've come up with this no-giving rule. Giving to the church is a healthy sign. The no-giving rule goes like this. A person will leave the church 6 to 8 months before they actually leave. The stopping of giving can help the church planter in his leadership and discipleship. So what this no-giving rule says is basically this. Look, and I've seen this in 30 years of church planting. If someone stops giving and all of a sudden you're aware of this, know that you have to circle back over there and maybe minister. Maybe there's something going on in their life. Maybe there's some bitterness, some other member of the church that they have a bitter root with that has to be addressed. Maybe it's you. Now, you can't fix every problem. That's true. You can't solve every issue. But know this rule usually applies. You know, many people say that the church planter should not know what's being given. Others believe the church planter should know. There are different places where the leaders that I planted churches wanted me to know. And I will tell you this, the big advantage of that is if someone stopped giving, I called them up, I talked to them, and I usually found that there was a problem. When I did not know what somebody gave, a lot of times I would look back after they left and I would see, yeah, 6, 8 months before they left, they stopped giving. I wish I would have known that. So those are issues that you as a church planter have to resolve. In many ways, I would prefer that you would know what people are giving. But know that if you know that knowledge, the downside of knowing that knowledge is that you may show more favoritism just because you're human. So always guard against, if you're going to know, guard against how Satan can get in there and make that knowing a bad thing. Or if you don't know, then just treat everybody in a way and understand that there's going to be some people who you could have known that they were hurting, but you didn't know, and just accept that fact. So again, there's that no giving rule, and that's your call as a church planter, how you want to look at that. Start a database of supporters for vocational church planting. Raise in pledges 50% of your salary before leaving bivocational ministry. Where would you raise this money? Your friends, your family, kingdom friends, your kingdom team leaders. What happens when you're going to actually start vocational ministry from bivocational? Okay, so it's like this. You're not currently getting paid by the church, but you are thinking, you know, maybe it's time to get paid because I'm burning out. I'm doing two jobs. I'm burning the candle on both ends. You talk to your leaders, and there's a thought, hey, I think you could become paid now. Our budget is increasing. What you really want to do is just go around to those who are in your church, in your church plant, or outside your church, possibly kingdom friends, and say, okay, before I make this move, can we get pledges for 50% of my salary? And that's how you basically operate that before you start making that move into vocational ministry. You know, money is very, very, very important in a new church plant. And what I would say to you as well is get better at it than even this presentation. I've given you some of the things that I've observed over the years, but check out blogs. Read church planter best practices with money. Develop more and more of a knowledge. Talk to other church planters who have gone before you in your area and ask them, hey, when it comes to money, what have you found that works and what doesn't work? And it won't be long by the time you actually plant your church that you'll get a good knowledge of how to effectively and stewardly handle money in your church plant.